Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Michael, good morning to you. And I need to start by asking you, well, we're going to keep with the theme of cost of living and the situation that befalls us all at present. This lead story in the Irish Independent this morning says that households could see their electricity bills reduced by €200 again next year under plans being discussed by the government ahead of the upcoming budget. And we understand that central to the discussions taking place are plans to extend the €200 electricity credit, which was reduced from bills in recent months, into the new year. Michael, a lot of talk, a lot of speculation. It's rather dominated the political debate of the week as to when the budget will take place. Environment Minister Eamon Ryan, the leader of the Green Party, was interviewed yesterday, and he suggested that the budget could take place now in September rather than the traditional month of October. So what do you make of all this and that story in the Irish Independent that the government is planning to give homes that €200 electricity grant again?
Yeah, Tressa, a lot of speculation around at the moment. I think that €200 is a very strong possibility, because come into the autumn, late autumn, winter, heating bills become a huge issue again, right across society. So I think that's a strong possibility. A lot of speculation about other measures, perhaps. As regards the budget, Michael McGrath was on the radio this morning, and he wasn't saying that the budget would be brought forward from the traditional second Tuesday in October to late September, as is rumoured around Leinster House. That rumour was very strong on Wednesday. I suspect the government wasn't entirely unhappy with it, because they're getting heat from the opposition, but they're also getting heat from backbenchers. But we'll know next week, Tressa, on that. Now, that might help to placate backbenchers a little. It won't placate the opposition. But it would bring the budget forward by a few weeks. The interesting thing is here, now, we have proposals coming by the dozen, really, and more than the dozen. I mean, I was listening there to Brendan Griffin and Pat Daly. I thought, by the way, that on the question of car tax, and yes, Pat Daly recalled it, Fianna Fáil abolished it in 1977. It was later reintroduced, by the way, as I think it was given some other fancy name. But Brendan Griffin made a valid point there about people with older cars. Now, it's areas like that that the government should look at. Targeted measures where you can help people who are in a particularly bad way. One of the interesting things of all of this, Tressa, we're going to have a budget now that late September, probably late September or early October and all that. But the point you made there about the need for fiscal rectitude, that's out there as well, unfortunately. And you did make the point about the rainy day account. Now, it was interesting, actually, that the economist who's advising Micheál Martin, Alan Hearn, he addressed the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting this week. And he said things are tough for the rest of, will be tough for the rest of this year and into next year. But he made a very interesting point about our reliance on corporation tax. And he said that we should think of a rainy day account. By the way, we had a rainy day account. We had 1.5 billion. In a shoebox in the Department of Finance. Pascal used to keep a very close eye on it. It was placed there under the painting of Valentia Island. The rainy day account was suggested by Michael Noonan, the Minister of Finance, after the collapse of the economy. Very good idea. We had 1.5 billion. The idea was we would put 500 million in every year and we'd reach a target of 8 billion. Now, that all went by the board when Pascal had to raid the shoebox. Because of the pandemic, we took the money out of the rainy day account and it's now empty. In fairness to Pascal, he had the pressures of the pandemic. We had to use the money. Arguably, it was a rainy day. But there's no money currently, Tressa, in that account, which is kind of does concentrate the mind.
Yeah, it's quite a squeeze that we're in at the moment, isn't it? It's the word unprecedented has been overused over the last few years, but I think it's very justified here, given that we're emerging for a pandemic, and Lord only knows, come autumn we could be re-entering that situation, given that numbers are rising again with COVID-19 and the inflation, the surge in inflation, the war in Ukraine. These are strange times.
They are, and in fairness to the government, I have some sympathy for the government on this, in that some of the woes that came their way were not of their own making. The matters there that you've raised yourself. But of course, the challenge for a government is, at a time of crisis, you have to come up with policy and with proposals that alleviate the hardship of people. One of the interesting things coming up at the moment now, for instance, is that the traditional fibre for social welfare recipients, huge pressure from all quarters on the government to increase that, to a tenor in age action figures, that it has to be increased much more than that to keep up with inflation. But against that, you can't keep chasing inflation and making things worse. In inflation terms, and of course making the lives of people worse, if inflation continues to grow. But it's interesting today that on a Friday, when normally TDs and senators back in their constituencies, the Fianna Fáil TDs are going to be addressed by Michael McGrath on budgetary matters. And
the Minister for Public Expenditure.
Minister for Public Expenditure, Michael McGrath, will be addressing them. And so from that point of view, it just shows you the political pressure that's on the government from within.
Michael, when we come back, we're going to talk about this plan by the government to make changes to tipping, to how we tip, so which will effectively ban tips or service charges on bills unless the money goes straight to staff. We'll talk about that. And you might explain a bit further, I teased it at the start of the show, why you're not happy with Darragh O'Shea. We'll talk about this and more just after these. And if you've got any questions from Michael, he always loves to get your thoughts. Give us a call 066 712 3666 or text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, the government's expected to make changes, Michael, to new tipping legislation, which will effectively ban so-called service charges on bills unless the money goes straight to staff. And this law, the Payment of Wages Bill, it's currently making its way through the Oireachtas. It came up in the Shannon this week.
It did, Tracy, yeah. And this is an interesting one. And I think everybody listening to us this morning, at some stage in a restaurant, cafe, whatever, will have wondered, is the service charge they're paying going to the waiters and the waitresses? That will have been an issue. It's been an issue with people aired on radio programs and in the media generally over the years. And full marks to Leo Varadkar for introducing this amendment. And this amendment means that in future, any money that you pay over by way of service charge, it will go to the staff. He said our overall objective with the bill is to prevent employers from using tips or gratuities to make up basic wages. The bill you referred to is going through the Shannon, long overdue, and as I say, full marks to Leo Varadkar, because it is an issue that has concerned people for a very, very long time. Now, I could never understand why the government, previous governments, previous ministers, didn't do something about it, but better late than ever.
Yeah, definitely. And Michael, we were talking about this, and there was a contribution during the week in the Oireachtas to an Oireachtas committee by an academic from Galway who's done a lot of research on the conditions of staff in the hospitality sector. And she said what's coming up now is that staff find that customers are ruder and a lot more unpleasant than they would have been in the past. Now, I was wondering, was it a situation related to maybe people finally being able to get out to eat again and maybe expecting everything to be perfect? But it's a bad development if people are like that to staff, to anyone.
It's a very bad development, and people should understand the pressure that places, restaurants and cafes and are under at the moment, after reopening after the lockdown and all that kind of thing. That was a very interesting briefing from Dr. Deirdre Curran of the ANUI in Galway. She pointed as well, of course, to the chronic labour shortage at the moment, but she did say that hospitality staff were overworked and underpaid. And we've all seen in recent times, as people start to go out again, we've all seen the pressure that hospitality staff are under. And quite honestly, if members of the public are losing the head with them, I think that's unacceptable.
Now, Michael, I have before me Darragh O'Shea, the former Kerry footballer's column in the Irish Times on Wednesday. I'm just going to read some excerpts from listeners who may not have had a chance to read it. I know you want to say a few things about it. Now, the premise of his article is based on politicians' response to the brawl that took place on Sunday involving Armagh and Galway. Now, he mentions how former Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan, in relation to that brawl and the eye gouging incident, called for the Gardaí to get involved. This is what Darragh O'Shea had to say in response. He said, "Come on now, we're all grown-ups here. We all know the difference between the hold-me-back stuff we saw on Sunday and actual violence. Again, nobody is saying it's great stuff. Nobody is saying it's a lovely thing to look at. Nobody is suggesting that the GAA shouldn't punish anyone who has broken the rules. But getting the Gardaí involved, that's off-the-wall stuff for anyone to be suggesting. Never mind someone who not that long ago was in charge of the force." On Catherine Martin, the Minister for Sports, comments that that families would be distressed by it and children would be distressed by it. He said instead she started going on about families with kids and worrying about what they saw. Darragh O'Shea writes in the Irish Times, "I was there on Sunday with my own children. All they saw was a mad, exciting game of football that they got completely engrossed in. There's no way any child who was in Croke Park on Sunday went away scarred by the row. And if you think that, it's a long time since you brought a child to a sporting event." And finally, the Taoiseach was asked about the row that erupted between Armagh and Galway last Sunday. And the Taoiseach said that people, you know, that he found it disturbing and upsetting. And Darragh O'Shea says, "Really? Was it? Were people really disturbed? Were they really even upset? I don't think that really stacks up, because when it comes right down to it, what did it amount to? If you actually sit down and watch it and be cold and unemotional about it, what do you see?" So Darragh O'Shea effectively saying, in summary, that politicians shouldn't have been commenting about that brawl.
Yeah, I must say I disagree strongly with Darragh on this one. Now, Darragh writes a great column in the Irish Times every Wednesday. I read it every Wednesday, and it's always good insights, everything. He expresses his views. It's always something to look forward to. But this, I must say, I disagree strongly with it. I read it on Wednesday, Tressa, disagreed with it. And because I knew I'd be talking about it this morning, I reread it again this morning, and I disagree even more with it, if that's possible. And sometimes, you know, politicians can't win with media and with the public. If they express a view on something, they're told you're only looking for publicity. If they say nothing about it, whatever the issue might be, they're saying you're running away from it. Now, Charlie Flanagan tweeted, his reaction on Sunday afternoon. Micheál Martin and Catherine Martin were asked about it, by the way, by journalists, because they happened to be doing doorstep interviews earlier this week. They gave their views. Supposing Micheál Martin had said, I've no comment to make on that matter for the GAA, he would have been castigated. Now, Darragh suggests that Catherine Martin should more or less have said that, that this is a matter for the GAA. The GAA should be left to deal with it themselves. But, according to Darragh, she started going on about families with kids and worrying about what they saw. Now, I would have thought that what Catherine Martin said was actually quite valid. What Micheál Martin was said was quite valid. And by the way, Charlie Flanagan, a big GAA fan, he was commenting as a GAA fan, so is Catherine Martin, I've no doubt. She's Minister for Sport, so she should have something to say on it. Micheál Martin, of course, immersed in the GAA, as his family is in Cork, and would have a view on it. So I think Darragh fell into the trap here of being part of the GAA club, where Now, he can be as critical of the GAA as anybody, but in this instance, I think what some people within the GAA would like us to believe is, look, ignore this. I suspect that there would be a lot more talk about it if it happened at an obscure club game, rather than on national television after one of the best games of Gaelic football we've seen in a long, long time. The other thing Dara says, and he's it gets a bit patronising here, I thought, in relation to Catherine Martin. Again, Trasa, it has to be repeated, Minister of Sport. He says, I don't for one second think that an intelligent woman like Catherine Martin believes any different. This is what she's saying about the incident. She says, and then Dara says, that's the worst thing about all of this. The politicians who weigh in on these things do it so that they can get noticed and pick up votes. But it's all silly beggars, and they know well it is. Now, that's deeply unfair, because if those same politicians had declined to comment, we'd be castigating on air this morning, Tressa. So I think Dara should take a long, long walk in the beach in Ventry and think about this again.
Well, we'd love to get listeners' views on it. What do they think? Do they agree with Michael's analysis of Dara O'Shea's column, in which he said politicians shouldn't say anything, shouldn't have commented on that brawl on Sunday? Or would they agree with Dara's view or with Michael's view that it was plainly evidenced the violence on display? The politicians were well within their remit to comment, and furthermore, the politicians Micheál Martin and Catherine Martin, the Taoiseach and the Minister for Sport were asked questions. They didn't bring it up, so they obviously had to respond for politeness, if nothing else, as to their views. I'd like to get your views on that, 0667123666. Before we move on, Michael, one person does have an observation on Dara O'Shea's column. A listener says the taxpayer gives funds to the GAA, and they got huge grants during COVID, as did many, many organisations, we should point out. So this caller feels strongly that the government is entitled to make a comment.
Actually, that's an excellent point. And in fact, it's a point that should be made, and made strongly. The taxpayer has paid a lot of money to the GAA over the years, paid a lot of money to Croke Park. A Croke Park now with corporate boxes and all that kind of thing, perhaps not quite the Gaelic organisation for the ordinary person that it used to be, but that's another issue. Remember when Bertie was Taoiseach, Trasa, they had one of their own. Croke Park was in his constituency. Croke Park did very well. So that's an excellent point. The taxpayer helps to fund the GAA, hence politicians are more than entitled to express their views.
Now, Michael, my colleague Amy Nirida in the Radio Kerry newsroom did research and got information under the Freedom of Information Act under the amount of money that was spent sending Kerry politicians to the US for St. Patrick's Day. And a listener says, Kerry spent €30,000 on St. Patrick's Day trip to the States. Now, that includes expenses for Minister for Education Norma Foley, the Cathaoirleach of the Shannon, Senator Mark Daly from Kenmare, and the then Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council, Councillor Jimmy Maloney. And this listener goes on to say, Minister Norma Foley brought two advisors and her secretary with her. That was €3,500 on flights, €5,500 on accommodation, €8,000 in transport, just for her group alone. If you do that total for every county in Ireland, what is the bill? I don't know if you can give an answer to the financial aspect of it, but I do know, to be fair, to Kerry, compared to Limerick City and County Council, where I think over €100,000 was spent sending politicians and council officials to the US, €30,000 in total doesn't seem a lot.
No, it doesn't actually, relative to what it has cost, and certainly relative to what it used to cost in the past. Now, I do think, by the way, there's a strong argument for sending people to America, London, places like that. We sent too many abroad, though, I think. And there's a very strong argument for sending the Cathaoirleach of County Councils abroad and to meet up with the county associations, for instance. I'd send more local authority people abroad than ministers, actually, but that's my own view, and link up with the county associations, some of which, thankfully, are still thriving. The other point I will make, though...
Yes, Michael, briefly.
Very, very briefly, that after the crash, ministers were advised to stay in embassies. Maybe that's not feasible nowadays, but there must be one or two vacant rooms in embassies around the world. Just throw in that as a particular thought.
Michael, thank you for that. Good point. Michael O'Regan with this week's Call from the Dáil. News at 10 is on the way.